then I'll just explain that. And I'd like to speak on two foundational principles that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Jodi gaur na hoy to Bengali is not so. It's a famous song among Bengali Vaishnavas. The meaning of which is, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not appeared in this world, if he had not come, then what would have happened? How could we have remained alive? How could we have dharitamde? How could we have held on to our bodies? It literally means. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is his gift? Radhar Mahima Prema Rasha Shima. The glories of Srimati Radharani, which are the ultimate limit of Prem Ras, which is better said as Prem Ras, because you can all understand Prem Ras, but how to translate in English? There are no words in English, because English, there's no concept of any such thing. Jagate Janatoke, who could have taught this to the world? Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati, another contemporary disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says that what great benefit to the world was there when Ramachandra came? What was the specialty of Varaha Dev? All not very much. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has given the actual essence of all things. So it's actually, it's in a back to front way, praising all the different avatars and pointing out the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagate Janatoke, Radha Mahima. Then, Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri Prabesha Chaturisha. Madhura Brinda. The sweet Vrindavan. Madhura Brinda. Bipina Madhuri. In the sweet groves of sweet Vrindavan, entrance to go into that, to enter that, back home, back to Godhead. That is the essence of all intelligent endeavors. Baraja jubote bhavera bhakati shakati hoitoka. So the to explain and relish and distribute the bhava bhakti, the transcendental emotional devotional feelings of the young girls of Vrindavan, who has got the power to do that except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Therefore, gau gau punar gorangera guna sharala karyamon. So again and again, sing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, keeping the mind very simple, not rascal. Simple means one thing and rascal is the opposite. Akapat. That's the term we'll find used. Not cheating, deceitful mentality. Very simple and straightforward. Sharala Karyamon. Ebhava Shagare Emana Doyala Nadeki Ekjon. In this whole ocean of material existence, we don't find anyone as merciful as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But with typical Vaishnav humility, Vasu Ghosh, who has obviously is a very inspired topmost devotee, otherwise how can he sing like this? These emotions of devotion, they don't come to mundane songwriters. Mundane songwriters, they write some song, I love you and I can't live without you and all. But this is the jararas, this is the artificial, perverted reflection of the actual love of Krishna, which is the preserve of pure devotees. So, Vasu Ghosh Thakur. He's obviously a great devotee, otherwise how could he sing so wonderfully about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? But another symptom of a great devotee is even though his heart is flooded with love of Krishna, he feels he doesn't have any devotion. Therefore he says that I never chanted the names of Gauranga. Now how am I going, how am I pulling on my life? It seems to me that Lord Brahma has constructed my heart out of stone. So in this way he's singing. So this Vasu Ghosh Thakur is famous for singing many songs. This is one of the most well-known of his songs. Mostly in our one mundane scholar of Gauriya Vaishnavism. That's a very dangerous species. You should avoid them by all means. Mundane scholars of Vaishnavism. So he was commenting that, well, in Gauriya Math and ISKCON, they mostly sing the songs of Bhaktivinod Thakur and maybe some of Narottam Das, but the traditional song writers or those who are traditionally more popular. Narottam Das, very popular in the Gauriya Vaishnav tradition. Not all, but mostly they sing the Narottam songs. Once Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was commenting that so many people are coming to him and asking him for Krishna Prem. He said, why are you asking me? You can buy in the market just for 2 annas. You can buy in the market Krishna Prem? How is that? You can go and buy this Prarthana and Prem Bhakti Chandrika, these 2 songbooks by Narottam Das. You can get for 2 annas Krishna Prem. Of course, one, it's not merely that by buying the book or by singing the songs, one has to enter into the spirit of it also. Just like Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was saying at the Ganga in Navadvip, people, the boatman, they were singing that my heart has been pierced with a trident. So singing like that in separation from Krishna. Vamsidas said, you can sing like that, but you really feeling like that? It's easy to sing, but actually to feel like that, it's not so easy. We can easily sing. What is that? It's like, Jan Maobi, Marobi, Jovicha Toha, Nittadasa Pratitua Adhika. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that Janmaobi Rakobi, you can Marobi, Rakobi Marobi, you can maintain me or kill me as you like. He's praying to Krishna, because I am your servant, you have the right. So we can sing like that, but to actually feel like that, if we have anything wrong, we feel disturbed. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, you even kill me, then that's your right, as you like. Kita janma hao jatha tu adas bahimoka brahma janme nahiyash. What would you like to be? Just like the children, they say, what would you like to be when you grow up? Well, I'd like to be mostly doctor, engineer, cricket player, film star. You want to be a film star? Oh. I bless you, you won't be a film star. Miss World, Mr. World, Olympics champion. That's another nonsense coming up soon. So what was airline pilot, sailor, soldier, so many things you can be. So what would you like to be in your next life? Indra, demigod, king. How about worm in stool? Bhakti Rao Thakur says, I'll take the birth of a worm in stool if I can be your devotee. But if you give me the position of Brahma, I won't accept, if not your devotee. So easy to sing. We can say, please accept my humble obeisances.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Because the words are easy to say, but may not be easy to feel. Of course, by saying, at least it's better to say it than not say it. But the actual feeling that we have to cultivate also. So, we're talking about these different songwriters like Basu Ghosh, Gyana Das, Govinda Das, Kabiraj. These are all famous songwriters in the Gaudiya tradition, and this very dangerous species of mundane scholar commenting on Gaudiya Vaishnavism has noted that in the Gaudiya Math line and ISKCON, they don't sing, mostly Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs and some of Narottam Das. So why is that? Well, there's a reason also, because the songs of the previous Vaishnava Acharyas, they're all perfect and pure, but they may not be so helpful for us in our spiritual realizations as those of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because they're mostly on the affective platform. That means that they're on the platform of sentiment, transcendental sentiment. But not so much philosophical or helping us to understand what is our situation in connection with Krishna. Glorifying Krishna, this Basu Ghosh Prabhu has especially given so many songs glorifying Krishna, especially glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his different leelas. Basu Ghosh Bale Kare Jora Hart Jaigor Shay Krishna Shay Jagannath. So he's glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in various ways. This song, which was just sung, was somewhat philosophical. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, especially, many of them analyze what is our situation, how we are in Maya, and how we have to come to Krishna. There are so many songs. Is Amar Jivan Shada Papirata Nahika Punnara Lesh. My whole life is simply full of sinful activities. There's not even a slight trace of any pious activities. So many songs he sung like this, with the conclusion at the end of them that now, Krishna, I have to surrender to you. So like this, these are very helpful for sadhaks, or devotees who are aspiring to be devotees. Of course, it's easier just to pretend that we're already there. It's easy to just pretend that we're already on the transcendental platform. But practically speaking, this business of cleaning the heart, that is done by chanting Harinam, but also with the conscious endeavor to become purified. That conscious endeavor arises from the process of hearing. Therefore, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting go together, and first comes hearing. Because if we don't hear, then we won't know what to chant, how to chant in a manner that we can actually become purified. The Chaito Darpana Marjan, the cleansing of the heart that comes about by chanting Hare Krishna, comes about by the pure chanting of the holy, by or the at least by the Nama Bhas, that chanting which is approaching the pure stage. By Nama Parad, one can never become purified. Bahujamma kare jodi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade prema dhan. We can go on chanting for millions of lives. We won't become purified if we're simultaneously making offenses. And how can we become free from offenses? Well, we have to know what they are. Therefore, we have to hear. 10 basic offenses have been given in Padma Purana, of which the last one, this Aham Mama Bhav, thinking in terms of I, me and mine. This is the whole basis of material existence, and it has innumerable permutations. There are, Maya has many, many forms, and we, our mentality is such that we're expert in embracing Maya even when we think that we're becoming Krishna conscious. And we may not even be aware of it. We may think I'm very Krishna conscious. There's one devotee often comes to me and says, yes, I'm very sincere. So by his saying that, we can understand he's not sincere. Because who's sincere will never say I'm sincere. Now he may think he's sincere. But if one thinks, yes, I'm doing very well, I'm doing very well in my bhakti. If anyone thinks like that, then immediately we can understand they're not at all doing well. So it may be that we think that, yeah, I'm doing very well, but an actually progressing devotee, he never thinks that I'm doing very well in Krishna consciousness. Or even if he, there should be some progress, and if progress is made in Krishna consciousness, then we'll notice that. Tushti, pushti, kshuddha, paya, anughasam. That example is given, just like eating, that one feels satisfaction, nourishment, and cessation or mitigation of hunger at every bite. So similarly, the process of Krishna consciousness is compared to eating. That as we're eating, we feel at every bite we're getting some benefit. So in Krishna consciousness, we should actually feel some benefit. But then a devotee, he feels that benefit. He doesn't think that, oh yeah, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful. But he thinks, whatever is there, that is, jogata vichare kichu nahi pai tomara karunusha. That is all the, whatever good thing that may be in there, that is simply the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That is his way of thinking. And a devotee, even if he is advanced, actually especially if he is advanced, then he sees whatever residual material attachments may be in his heart, it may be whatever it may be, he sees as a very big and bad, and say, why do I have any attachment for anything not related to Krishna? Why do I have any even slight desire to enjoy this material world separately from Krishna? So mostly we're singing the songs of Bhaktivinod Thakur, which are very helpful for us to overcome all these different residual anarthas in our heart. I said I was going to speak of the two foundational principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. I got a little, I discussed some other points which are all related. Those two points, those two foundational principles are Vairagya and Vidya. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshatamekah Purushah Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Bhadya Yastamaham Rapadya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya composed 100 verses in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of which this one in particular is most famous, he delineates that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching of bhakti yoga is based on the principles of vairagya and vidya, non-attachment and knowledge. Now, that may appear, that statement, we can translate the whole verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught devotional service to himself on the basis of vairagya and vidya. He is the original, eternal, supreme person, and therefore I surrender at his lotus feet. Now that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching of bhakti is based on vairagya and vidya. Please wash your hand after putting it in. Yes, you just put your hand in your mouth, you chewed your finger. Go and wash your hand. No, you didn't do it. I didn't see you. Maybe you did also. You just put your hand in your mouth? You didn't? Oh. Well, it sure looked like that. Now in Bhagavatam, one of the famous important verses of Bhagavatam seems to contradict this thing. What is that verse from Bhagavatam? That it seemed to state that there's no need to cultivate vairagya or vidya because they automatically come about as a result of bhakti. Anyone know? Important verse. Vasudeve. Anyone? Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayatyashu vairagyam jnanam, which is almost synonymous with vidya. Jnanam chayad ahaitukam. So the purport of this verse is that by performing devotional service unto Vasudev, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Bhagavati, then automatically arise knowledge and vairagya, detachment. Detachment is the word Prabhupada generally uses to translate vairagya, although it literally means absence of attachment, anasakti, vairagya, raga. Raga means attachment. Virag, vairagya, non-attachment. So these, we may say then, well, there's no need to try to get knowledge or detachment because they automatically arise from bhakti. But then within bhakti, we see there are practices to cultivate vairagya and vidya. But that means, So what does it mean that they come about automatically by bhakti? Bhakti is never devoid of vairagya or vidya. Bhakti, if there is bhakti for Krishna, that same verse I was quoting, that tushti pushti, that begins that bhakti pareshanubhava viraktiranyatra. That the definition of Krishna consciousness is first defined as attachment to Krishna and concomitant detachment from everything else, viraktir anyatra. So vairagya must be there. If one is attached to material sense enjoyment, then where is the question of attachment to Krishna? The two things don't go together. And also in bhakti there must be vidya. One must know what he's doing, why he's doing. The very cause of material existence is ignorance of our constitutional position as servants of Krishna. But Vairagya and Vidya are not cultivated as separately from bhakti, and it's not considered that simply by being austere or simply by studying shastra one can attain bhakti. But rather they are the Vairagya and Vidya that is manifested as a result of one's genuine desire to serve Krishna. That is different from the Vairagya and Vidya of the impersonalists who simply try to negate their desires. This is their attempt at Vairagya. They attempt to do so by Vidya, by study of Shastra, in an attempt to understand that they are not connected to this material world. But that Vidya of the impersonalists is, it's very much incomplete. If we simply know, I'm not of this material world, aham brahmasmi, I'm spiritual, but we don't know what is my duty as a spiritual living being, and then we're left only halfway. So, in bhakti, naturally, vairagya comes. Partially it's cultivated, but not in the dry manner of the impersonalist. That means that a devotee, he becomes detached from this mature world by getting a higher taste, higher engagement. He naturally gives up desires for gross sense gratification by having better desires, desires how to serve Krishna. But to actually come to this point, it is required to have that knowledge that I am the servant of Krishna. And simply theoretical knowledge will not be sufficient. Very deeply one has to understand, what does it mean to be the servant of Krishna? To be the servant of Krishna is not like being a servant in this material world. Just like you're all servicemen here, I think you're not. Is anyone here of their own business? You're all employed. So you're all engaged in service, you're all servants of someone. But why are you doing that? Why are you serving? For your own benefit. It's not that you've come here to get a job because you have tremendous regard for the boss of your company and you like him so much that you're probably Marobi, Rakobi, Joe Chatoha. No, nothing. No such thing. Give me my money. How much do I get? What are the perks? What are the facilities? It's a servant in this mature world means the servant serves, but he's thinking, what benefit do I get? What do I get out of this? That's one way of serving materialistically. Another way of serving materialistically is out of fear. If I don't do, like a slave, if you don't do, then you may be killed or punished. The slave has no choice. He has no rights. So, in this material world, whoever is a servant is doing so not willingly, but because he, in this particular circumstance, he doesn't find any better situation to fulfill his sense gratification. He'd be happy that the boss becomes his servant. That Prabhupada, he was in Japan negotiating the book production with the executives of the Dai Nippon printing company. So they were all sitting around the table, and they all left their visiting cards on the table. And then after they finished negotiations, they left, and they left a junior executive to look after Prabhupada and his group. So Prabhupada immediately began preaching to him. He asked him, what is your goal in life? So he had some presence of mind. He probably didn't expect to be asked such a question, but he knew what his goal of life was. So he collected up all the visiting cards and he put them one on top of another in order that the chief executive officer on top and then the vice presidents, and in order with himself, his own visiting card at the bottom, because that was his position in relation to the others. And then to demonstrate what is his goal of life, he took his visiting card off the bottom and put it on the top. So now I'm the servant of the company, yes. The CEO has ordered me to do like this, so I'm doing like this, but my goal is that to kick on his head. I'll be on top of him. So everyone is serving for their own sense gratification, but service of Krishna is not like that. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. There's a great difference between the attitude of service to Krishna and any service or any kind of existence in this material world, because anything we do for our own sense gratification, that is called kam or material lust, whereas the desire to satisfy Krishna simply for the sake of satisfying him, that is called prem. Now, without understanding this basic point very thoroughly, we may take up the service of Krishna, but without education, not only education, but a complete change of outlook, then we'll be serving Krishna, but somewhat in the mode of a materialistic servant who thinks, what do I get out of it? What is in it for me? Now, we may be serving, and it may appear to be very selfless, but if we're thinking how I will be happy by serving Krishna, then it cannot actually be selfless. That's why, even just like this song I sung describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave knowledge, or he gave entrance into the sweet groves of Vrindavan and the sweet serving mood of the sweet gopis of Vrindavan. Now, if we hear that without understanding what is the essence of that sweetness, then we'll think that that sweetness is something to be enjoyed by me. But that sweetness comes as a result of this mood of selflessly serving Krishna. The example is there of the gopis, how when they were informed that Krishna had a headache and the only cure was the dust of the feet of his devotees, they're immediately prepared to give. And Narad Muni asked, oh, you don't know? You'll go to hell? We'll go to hell. But Krishna should not have a headache. We'll go to hell forever. The sweetness of gopi bhav, gopi ras, comes from that kind of surrender. Therefore, we are enjoined to imbibe the principles of surrender first and not try to understand what is rasa first. Because if we try to understand rasa without having imbibed the vairagya and vidya of surrender to Krishna, then we may think that we are performing bhakti. But actually, we'll just be trying to enjoy Krishna. Krishna is the most beautiful, Krishna is very sweet. Oh, so I should be with him. I can also enjoy that sweetness. So if one is self-centered, then even one may think one is situated in bhakti. But that is not bhakti. That is an attempt to exploit Krishna for one's own sense gratification. Therefore, one has to be educated, not only academic education, but one's whole attitude in Krishna consciousness. of how everything is meant for Krishna. So this kind of song, this Marobi Rakobi, Manasa Deho Geho, Jokichumo Apilunto Apade, Nanda Kisho. This kind of attitude, how to actually imbibe that is required. We may think, well, Vairagya Vidya, that's for sannyasis. But no, it's for all devotees. It's not that, well, one's a householder and therefore enjoy a little bit. Enjoy a little bit, but then there's no Krishna. Then there's no bhakti is spoiled by failing to cultivate the desire to act only for the pleasure of Krishna. Then we spoil our advancement in devotional service. So Bhaktino Thakur, a householder, so some may accuse, oh, 13 children, seems like he was a great bhogvilasi, seems like he was a great enjoyer of this material world. Even he was building his house in Calcutta, Bhakti Bhavan, holding his bead bag in his hand, and very enthusiastically, with great alacrity, overseeing the work. That how is it going on? How are the masons doing their work? And some people criticize that he's in the justice department of the British government, maybe he should have been in the public works department. He seems to be taking such interest in construction. He was very happy to see the construction. Oh, building his house. Everyone thought, oh, he's taking such interest in building his house, just like some materialistic person. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, he's very enthusiastic because this is to be Bhakti Bhavan. This is a place where Krishna will be glorified, where Krishna's devotees will be served. Therefore, he's very enthusiastic to see how it's built. Materialistic people misunderstand him to be one of them. So he showed how, by living as a dutiful householder, one can at the same time be fully detached from this material world. Not in show, but in actual fact. That everything he did was for the satisfaction of Krishna. How to imbibe that attitude. His whole life was Krishna-centered. He would do his work responsibly, not irresponsible. He would perform his duties in the court. He was a magistrate. And he would finish it up very quickly, very expertly, with full concentration. He would do his work, finish, then he would come. And he would spend time either at Jagannath Temple discussing Bhakti Shastra with other devotees, writing books, chanting the holy names. He made, even though he had so many family responsibilities and judicial responsibilities, he made time to write so many books which are books and songs which are unparalleled in the history of the world. He himself said that if all the libraries of the world were destroyed, but only the Srimad Bhagavatam remained, there would be no great loss. But I would like to add that Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings also, they should also be preserved. And all our Vaishnava Acharyas, which it's all Bhagavad Katha. All the Vaishnava Acharyas, that's also Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just like Bhagavatam, we have Prabhupada's Bhagavatam with commentary. So the writings of the Acharyas, they're non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Literary incarnation of God. So Bhagavatam, all the writings of the Vaishnava Acharyas, we cannot understand Bhagavatam without the commentaries of the Vaishnava Acharyas. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was in Delhi. One of the devotees there, he was regularly giving lectures. So he asked that devotee, that do you regularly read Gaudiya magazine? That was the magazine of the Gaudiya Math at that time. And it was different to Back to Godhead, in as much as it was very highly philosophical, discussing all different points of Vaishnava philosophy in great depth. And the main topic, they made an index for that magazine of all the different articles, and they put them under different categories. It's very interesting. The first category they put was, I can't remember exactly the words, what was it? Something like Purvapaka Khandan. Anyway, the word was there, Khandan. So the main topic, the one that came up most, was smashing all the wrong ideas. And then Radha Mahima, there were maybe several hundred in the course of several years, there were several hundred articles smashing the wrong ideas. And then Radha Mahima, two articles. So it was very much focused on understanding what is Sambandha Gyan, what is our relationship with Krishna. So anyway, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he knew this devotee was giving lectures, so he asked, are you reading Gaudiya magazine? So he said, well, I'm very busy. Sometimes when I get time, I read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. I don't have much time for reading Gaudiya. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, without reading this, you cannot understand Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So you may ask them, well, how can we understand? Because we have Prabhupada's purports, which are the essence of all. Prabhupada, whatever Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave, he has given us that. But the point is that, or just like sometimes we may like to read just this, just like they bring out this Reader's Digest versions of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, I've also brought out a summary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But that's not supposed to be a substitute for reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, but an introduction so that people can get the desire to do so. But if we just like to read the pastimes without reading the Acharya's commentaries, or we just like to tell different stories without understanding the philosophical import, and then it'll be like telling some, just like the children, the parents tell some stories and the children enjoy it, without understanding the import as given by the Acharyas, then it'll be just another kind of sense gratification. We heard some pious sense gratification. We heard some nice stories about Krishna. Therefore, the Bhagavad Sapta is condemned. What is wrong? You see, Parikshit Maharaj, he heard Bhagavad in 7 days. So we shall also hear what is wrong. What is wrong is because they're simply telling stories to the stories from Bhagavatam in order to give some pious entertainment to the people who are coming. But they're not teaching. Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartos. What is that? Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamolabhaya hismritaha. That dharma is never meant for sense gratification. And even if one has got the opportunity for sense gratification, he should never indulge in that. But rather, kamasya nindriya priti. One should not indulge one's desires for sense gratification, but rather, jigyasu tatvijigyasya tatvijigyasya. One should inquire into the absolute truth. So the false teachers of Bhagavatam, they don't teach like this. Just tell some stories, everyone says, very nice, give some umbrellas, the speaker gets 50 umbrellas, then his assistant takes them and sells them back to the shop for at a slightly lower price than they were bought. So everyone's happy. Because it says in Shastra, you should give such gifts to sadhus, umbrellas, shoes, or mostly they like to give umbrellas. So he has a whole pile, takes them back, gets some money. So this is not in the spirit of Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami, how did he speak Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj? What was the first thing? He immediately started by smashing any material attachments he might have had. That, what is that? Atma. Griheshu Grihamedinam. The materialistically attached householders, they do not have knowledge of Atma Tattva, because they are Nidraya Hriyate Naktam. They're simply in the night, they're simply sleeping, and in the day they're simply busy working to maintain their families, just like animals. This is how Shukadeva Goswami started his discourse to Parikshit Maharaj. So we should start at the beginning and cultivate these principles of vairagya, vidya, not in a dry manner, with bhakti to Krishna. It's not that we all have to stop smiling and be unhappy, and not like these mayavadi sannyasi. Bhakti is a joyful process. But we have to understand that the joy comes from the attitude of selfless service to Krishna. We are not the enjoyer. Someone's devotee comes, "Oh, I didn't see you. Where were you?" "I went to Vrindavan." "So, how was it?" "Oh, it was great. Really enjoyed it." "Really? We should go to Vrindavan to serve Brajabara Nagara, the enjoyer of Vrindavan. Not that we go, I enjoyed it, therefore it was good. Vrindavan is good, I like it very much, therefore it's good. And actually I like Puri better than Vrindavan because the climate's better and people are not so rough, so actually I like Puri better than Vrindavan. And I like Jagannath. I like him better than Govardhan, you see." Mundane outlook. My enjoyment. How I have enjoyed. In Puri we get all that nice prasadam. You see, you can just walk in and buy it. So I like the prasadam in Mayapur better than Vrindavan. But this kind of attitude. Then it's better than being a beef eater. It's a lot better. But it's not pure, it's not Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti begins when we understand the principles of Vairagya Vidya, the detachment from the very concept of how I should enjoy this material world, based on knowledge that I am not the enjoyer. Therefore we have to hear again and again and again. That is the process, so we can understand these points. Now we may think, yes, well, you're a householder, we should enjoy a little bit. That's due to asat sangha, we think like that, due to the way of life we've been brought up in. Otherwise, traditionally, we'll find that any person on the bhakti marg, traditionally, in traditional India, maybe a householder, but cultivating vairagya and vidya, not living a life of luxury or sense gratification or any such thing, leading very strictly, following regulative principles, following different vows, and regularly studying shastra, being absorbed in shastra. This is Vaishnav life. That we may be working, whatever it is, tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, whatever it may be. But whatever work we do, that for whatever it may be, that is some thing for the maintenance of the body. But the life is centered on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedam. This is Vaishnav Grihastha life. Vaishnav Grihastha life doesn't mean that you You're simply working and you take 10 minutes out to wave some agarbatti and put your hand in your bead bag for a few minutes. Then where is the Vaishnavism? We have to arrange our lives in such a way that we have time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Otherwise we're just living an animal life. The animals are busy all day and night. Where is food? Where is sex? Where is shelter? How to defend? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha. In the animal's life there is no vairagya or vidya. So a devotee has to arrange his life in such a way that he can cultivate Krishna consciousness. Of course, if we're leading very busy lives, it may be easier just to go in for some kind of watered down, cheap version of Krishna consciousness. But just like the saying is, you get what you pay for. How much does a Corolla car cost here in Dubai? Anyone know? New car?
40,000.
How much does of course there are different models, but say a Mercedes cost?
About 100%.
Must be about, yeah. So you get what you pay for, right? A Corolla is not the same as a Mercedes. A Mercedes is better in every way, except the price. But then you get what you pay for. Mercedes is more comfortable, longer lasting, safer, more prestigious, goes faster, faster acceleration, so many qualities, so many. Whereas a Corolla is just a cheap tin can, and a Mercedes is a more expensive, more sophisticated tin can. You get what you pay for. So we may think, we'll take a light-hearted approach to Krishna consciousness, but we won't get Krishna unless we're prepared to do what is required to get Krishna. We can get Krishna by stopping thinking how I can get Krishna and how I can serve Krishna. So we should consider all these points. I could discuss more, but it's quite late. We'll finish there. Hare Krishna.
Gurunas Bhaktivika Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Prabhupad ki
jai. Jai Prabhupad. Hare Krishna. Any question about this?
जो हरि शरीर है और जीवात्मा है, जीवात्मा से शरीर को अलग समझना, क्या शरीर से जीवात्मा को अलग करने के लिए क्या नहीं?
क्या करना चाहिए? तो पहले सुनना चाहिए. अगर हम नहीं सुनते हैं तो कैसे समझ लेंगे कि जीव और देह अलग? लेकिन उसका साक्षात्कार कैसे मिलते हैं? तो व्यवहारिक जीवन में जीवात्मा जैसे काम करना चाहिए. अगर हम सिर्फ शरीर के लिए सभी प्रयास करते हैं तो फिर कैसे बुद्धि आएगी कि मैं जीवात्मा हूँ? तो इसलिए भक्ति साधना करना चाहिए, क्योंकि ये श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्मरणम इत्यादि तो शारीरिक विकास और शारीरिक पोषण के लिए नहीं है, वो आत्म विकास के लिए है. मैं जीवात्मा हूँ और जीवात्मा का क्या कर्तव्य है? कृष्ण सेवा. कृष्ण सेवा करने से साक्षात्कार आते है कि मैं जीव हूँ. लेकिन अगर हम खाली बोलते हैं मैं जीव हूँ लेकिन खाली शरीर के लिए सभी प्रयास करते हैं तो कैसे साक्षात्कार आएगा? तो नहीं आएगा. हाँ, तो शरीर के लिए कुछ करना चाहिए, खाना है, सोना पहना, ये सब. लेकिन इसी भावना से करना चाहिए कि ये शरीर एक वाहन जैसे है और क्योंकि मैं बद्ध जीव हूँ तो इस वाहन में हूँ, लेकिन इस मानव शरीर का अर्थ है, उद्देश्य है कि इस शरीर के द्वारा कृष्ण सेवा करना है, तो इसलिए शरीर का पालन करना चाहिए। हम कहते हैं किस लिए, जैसे कि हम शक्ति में लेंगे कृष्ण सेवा करने के लिए, हम काम करते हैं जैसे कि हम पैसे में लेंगे शरीर का पालन करने के लिए, जैसे कि शरीर के द्वारा हम श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्मरणम इत्यादि कर सकेंगे, तो इसलिए केवल। तो यही बुद्धि स्थिर होना चाहिए कि मैं आत्मा हूँ और मैं शरीर नहीं हूँ, और शरीर के लिए और सब कुछ जो करता हूँ वो खाली आत्मज्ञान और भक्ति का विकास करने के लिए, और ऐसे साक्षर का होगा
जो हम कर रहे हैं वो सच सब कुछ ना भगवान को समर्पित करते हुए, और हम
समर्पित होते हैं सब कुछ
करते हुए अपना उद्देश्य रखते हैं कि हमने जो भी कर रहे हैं मेरे द्वारा नहीं हो रहा आपके द्वारा।
हाँ, उद्देश्य ऐसे शुद्ध होना चाहिए, लेकिन क्या होते हैं अगर हम उद्देश्य ऐसे हो सकते हैं लेकिन बीच में माया आते हैं, और माया बहुत सूक्ष्म रूप में आते हैं, इसलिए बारंबार शुद्ध भक्तों के श्रीमुख से सुनना चाहिए ऐसी बात कि हम इस भौतिक जगत के वस्तुओं के मालिक नहीं है, भोगी नहीं है, हम कृष्ण दास है, और खाली श्रवण करना नहीं है तो वैष्णव संत के साथ संगति करना चाहिए, क्योंकि वो भक्तों की भावना में उससे प्रभाव आते हैं। अगर हम शुद्ध भक्तों की संगति करेंगे तो हम वैसी भावना भी मिलेंगे, अगर हम असत्संग करेंगे, भोग विलासियों की संग करेंगे, तो हम ऐसे भावना से प्रभावित होगा। तो ऐसे ही भक्ति में सत्संग, श्रवण करना, तो ये सब मुख्य अंग है, अगर हम करेंगे तो हम भक्ति में प्रगति करेंगे, और हम व्यवहारिक रूप में साक्षात्कार करेंगे कि मैं ईश्वरीय नहीं हूँ, मैं जीव हूँ, और जीव स्वरूप हो कृष्ण नित्य दास, मैं कृष्ण का नित्य दास हूँ। तो कैसे साक्षात्कार होते हैं कि मैं जीव हूँ, जीव कृष्ण नित्य दास है, तो कैसे वो साक्षात्कार होते हैं कृष्ण की सेवा करने से, खाली बोलने से मैं कृष्ण दास हूँ मुझे और एक आइसक्रीम दो, ऐसा नहीं होगा। तो कृष्ण सेवा और इंद्रिय सुख दोनों विपरीत है, यही इस आज का प्रवचन का सार मर्म है। रस किस प्रकार रस? हाँ, रस भी बार होते हैं,
रस विभोर होता है,
हाँ,
लेकिन वो वैष्णव नहीं बन पाता है, उसके लिए कुछ ऐसी स्थिति नहीं बनती है कि वो वैष्णव हो गया या बन पाया इसमें, लेकिन उसको रस विभोर होता है, उसको आनंद की चेष्टा करता, आनंद मिलता है
तो नहीं, वो भक्तों की चेष्टा है कैसे कृष्ण प्रसन्न होंगे,
यही
रस में विभोर होता है। हाँ, ऐसा अगर हम प्रयास करेंगे कृष्ण को खुश करने, कृष्ण सदैव सच्चिदानंदमय है, लेकिन अगर हम प्रयास करेंगे कृष्ण का सुख के लिए, वो प्रयास करने से अपने आप हम भी सुखी होंगे, तो यही भक्ति रहस्य है। लेकिन अगर हम भक्ति करेंगे अपने सुख के लिए, तो हम वास्तविक कृष्ण भक्ति सुख नहीं मिलेंगे, तो यही रहस्य है।
हम जो रस विभोर होते हैं, हम तो
आप भाग्यवान है, मैं अभी तक नहीं हूँ।
महाराज भगवत गीता में भगवान इस संसार को दुखाले कहते हैं, लेकिन जो कृष्ण भावनामृत में लगे हैं, जो कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस में हैं, क्या वो इस दुखाले में हैं? उनकी क्या स्थिति है?
क्या स्थिति है? विश्वं पूर्ण सुखायते विधि महेन्द्रदिश्चाकीटायते यत्कारुण्यकटाक्ष वैभवतम तम गौरमेव स्तुमः। जो चैतन्य महाप्रभु की दृष्टिपात, कृपा दृष्टिपात मिलते हैं, तो पूरा विश्व, विश्वं पूर्ण सुखायते, पूर्ण सुखमय देखते, क्योंकि जारा नेत्र परे तारे देखे कृष्ण रूप। तो जो जो देखते हैं वो देखते हैं, वो उसमें देखते कृष्ण 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 सर्वत्र कृष्ण को देखते। तो भक्तों के लिए कोई प्रहलाद महाराज वैसे भी बोले कि मेरा खुद का कोई दुख नहीं है, नई बौद्ध विजय भरतर गायन महामृत मग्न चित्तम, मेरा कोई दुख नहीं है। तो मेरा पिता श्री जो अभी पिता नहीं, वो मर गए नृसिंहदेव हिरण्यकशिपु, तो मुझको इतना परेशान किया, लेकिन मैं कभी भी दुखी नहीं था, क्योंकि सदैव आपका नाम गुण इत्यादि स्मरण किया था। लेकिन मेरा ऐसे वो सदैव प्रेम सुख से विभर था, लेकिन मेरा एक दुख है, सोचे ततो विमुख चेत स इंद्रिया था माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढ़ा, कि वो सब अभक्त जो माया से मुग्ध होते हैं, तो आपके नाम गुण रूप लीला उसमें कोई रुचि नहीं मिलते हैं, और केवल मायिक सुख के लिए प्रयास करते हैं, तो वो मेरा दुख है कि ये सभी लोग आपकी भक्ति में तन्मय नहीं है।
हरे कृष्णा, वी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज होलनेस भक्ति विकास स्वामी महाराज टुडे विद अस। ही इज अ डिसिपल ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड बीन इन द मोमेंट फॉर द लास्ट 30 इयर्स एंड ही हैज बीन वेरी मर्सीफुल फॉर द लास्ट 8 इयर्स कमिंग टू शामदेश मेनी टाइम्स एंड आई वुड लाइक टू इंट्रोड्यूस हिज बुक्स टू ऑल।